The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Rolien Marks, I hope you don't mind an early crossing today.
I don't. I had a funny feeling we'd be doing an early crossing.
There's just been too much happening in Israel. I personally have been addicted to the news that's coming out. I'm suffering from OD, but
I'm sure you are.
But hugely, hugely significant developments. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, which is Benjamin Netanyahu and the decision to indict. What's going on? How's that being received?
Well, as you can imagine, everybody was, I'm not going to say stunned. I'm going to say that we were kind of expecting it, but you know, when you're expecting something but not expecting it on Thursday night, as the Attorney General announced that he would be pushing forward with an indictment against the Prime Minister. This, you know, this doesn't come out of the blue. This is 3 years in the making, or in the building. And it does take a place at a very, very precarious time for Israel, as we're now in the process of trying to put together a government. We've got less than 20 days to do it, and we want to try and avoid those third elections as much as possible. And we've already had the accusations from some about unity government, and this one's trying to scupper that, and this one's going to scupper this. But these are quite serious charges. You know, there's three kind of batteries of charges leveled against the Prime Minister. There's case 1000, case 2000. I don't know where case 3000 went to, but case 4000, which is the very, very serious charges, which is the breach of trust, the fraud, and the bribery charges. So where we move to from here, and as you can well imagine, the language coming from Prime Minister Netanyahu on Thursday night in his own press conference was rather angry, was rather accusatory, a lot of people calling for him to step down, some people within his party, protests across the country, some for him, some against him. Of course, a lot of debate and discussion in the diaspora community. I mean, my social media has been blowing up with people with comments and, you know, giving their opinions. But, you know, it's going to be decided in the courts, unless he decides to go for parliamentary immunity. And what this would entail is lobbying the Knesset to decide whether or not he should have immunity. We've already heard from Avigdor Lieberman, who earlier today said he doesn't believe that Netanyahu should have immunity. This should go to court. And you know, if it does go to court, it does give the Prime Minister his day in court, his opportunity to put forward his case.
Okay, so like I said to you, Rolien, I've been following this quite closely. I think I'm kind of known out there, for better or for worse, not being the biggest Netanyahu fan. I acknowledge what he's done and how important he has been to Israel. But when you have the Prime Minister of Israel attacking its own institutions, I think you are moving on to incredibly, incredibly dangerous ground. And what I saw was a man attack the institutions of government. He attacked the Attorney General's office. Let's not forget that he appointed Mandelbult to his position. And it kind of made me think that, you know, in South Africa, Jacob Zuma, I don't trust a word that Jacob Zuma says, but he arguably says he wants his day in court. Benjamin Netanyahu has not said that. Benjamin Netanyahu is saying, investigate the investigators. And that to me is dangerous stuff, Rolien. I mean, if had he asked for his day in court, that would have been different, but he's not doing that.
It's very, very dangerous language. First of all, he used the terminology coup, and that is extremely dangerous. Second of all, we've got to understand that Israel is a democracy, and there was a lot of criticism against the Netanyahu camp in the run-up to the elections for him wanting to enforce the power of the Knesset over the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court the Attorney General Mandelbult, they act with absolute unimpeachable integrity.
Sure.
Israel's Supreme Court enjoys a reputation around the world as one of the most respected and venerated in the world. And it's so important for a democracy to have its institutions stand alone. We cannot have a situation where the Knesset can override decisions made by the Supreme Court. And he really was asking the Israeli public to choose between basically our country and,
yes,
and him.
Exactly. Exactly. And I heard a level of language that I haven't heard in years. I think probably not since Yitzhak Rabin, the lead up to Yitzhak Rabin's assassination. I mean, they were talking about civil war. It's got to that point. Is it in fact so fractious in Israel at the moment? Are you in such different camps that, there's even the smallest danger of that?
Well, I wouldn't be as dramatic in saying that we could go to a civil war, but we are in a situation where many are saying, you know, perhaps it is time for the Prime Minister to step down. He needs to focus on his legal issues, and we need to get on with the business of running a country. Look, you cannot take from Benjamin Netanyahu the incredible work that he's done
sure.
as Israel's leader. However, we do have to look at the legal issues as they sit before us. We are a democracy. We are a democracy that aborts presidents and prime ministers to justice in the past before. And we have to divorce Netanyahu, you know, the orator, you know, Netanyahu, the man who the United Nations is his real house, from Netanyahu, the man who's now facing some serious charges against him, and it's filtered right into his very own Likud party. We've had Gideon Sa'ar calling for primaries, which I think is probably would be the smart move for the Likud. However, we also have a situation where the Prime Minister asked members of the Likud party to sign declarations of fealty towards him.
Wow.
And that is not democratic. That is not what Israel stands for. And, you know, now, we've got, accusations from Benny Gantz, who says that, you know, he's really trying to drag us to not having a unity government. He's trying to drag us into going towards a third election so that he can avoid this. And, of course, Lieberman saying that he doesn't think he should have parliamentary immunity. He now needs to go to trial.
Rolin Hachamor weighing in, as I'm glad he does. Netanyahu is pulling a Jacob Zuma and saying constantly, what have I done wrong? And the chaos of Israeli elections is just getting out of hand. Makes the last 70 odd years of independence look like nothing was accomplished. That's from Hachamor. What I'm reading into that question as well, or that statement as well, is the effect that this must be having on American Jewry. I mean, for them to see Netanyahu taking this kind of approach, saying that I'm more important than the institutions, this is not things that are going to resonate well with American Jewry, who ultimately is so very important to Israel.
Well, it's not resonating just well with American Jewry, but with Israelis as well. You know, you're not above the law. Nobody's above the law here. Again, we're a country that put a president in the slammer for rape, and we put another prime minister in the slammer for the same thing, for bribery and for corruption. And it, you know, it's one of the things that as a democracy we're proud of, that nobody is above the law, including Prime Minister Netanyahu. And there's also murmurings that this is sounding very Trumpian, that you know, he's almost borrowing the language that a Donald Trump would use if faced with a crisis. And you know, I of course had many messages on Thursday night, one of them saying, you know, doesn't this fit into an anti-Semitic cabal? This has got nothing to do with anti-Semitism. This is not about Israel's image to the world. This is not about anything other than we have a situation where our sitting prime minister is facing some serious, serious charges. And the next step, whether he gets immunity, which could be highly likely, or has his day in court, that's where we're headed.
Fascinating. And we will no doubt keep tabs on developments there. Let's move on to another story. Yeah, this is something that I haven't noticed. Israel lights up in red to highlight gender-based violence. What's the story there, Roline?
Okay, so today is the International Day of Elimination of Violence Against Women, basically gender-based violence. And, you know, we've had about 27 women in the last year die as a result of gender-based violence in the country. And although to many, you know, the number 27 doesn't seem to be that high, you know, every death based on gender-based violence is too many. And I have to say I'm very, very proud of WITSO Israel. That's the Women's International Zionist Organization, Israel. They spearheaded a campaign where they've got buildings across the country to light up in red to raise awareness of gender-based violence. And the meaning behind this is twofold. First is that there are red flags when it comes to looking for those warning signs that your partner or somebody you know could be violent. And also, according to the president of WITSO Israel, Ora Kawazin, it's not just a woman's issue. This is a societal issue. It's something that everybody in society, from grassroots to government, need to deal with. And last night and tonight as well, major buildings across the country, including the Tel Aviv municipality, the bridge in Israel, the Metarim bridge in Jerusalem, the Sammy Ofer soccer stadium in Haifa will all be lit up in red, as well as many other buildings across the country. And this is a situation that we find absolutely unacceptable. We know in South Africa we have all those who feel strongly against gender-based violence standing with us, as well as around the world. And today we've chosen a very, very significant way, apart from all the many other projects, meetings, caucuses, campaigns taking place across the country.
Good on you for confronting that issue head on. I think sometimes as Jews we like to think this doesn't really happen as much within our communities, but that's absolutely not true. Really heartwarming story, Roline, about a Lebanese businessman who apparently bought Nazi memorabilia, but not for the reason that one might have first thought.
This is quite an extraordinary story, and it really restores my faith in humanity. There is a Lebanese businessman. His name is Abdallah Chatila. He's very, very prominent in Lebanon, and he has spent over 600,000 euros buying up Nazi memorabilia. He's bought a rare edition of Mein Kampf. He's bought a top hat, a cigar box belonging to Hitler. He's bought various other with the sole purpose of making sure that it goes to Jewish organizations to do with it what they will. He wants to keep them from the hands of neo-Nazis. And, you know, he says, at first I wanted to buy these objects to destroy them. He says, but now I'd rather give them to fundraising organizations within the Jewish community to do with them what they feel best should be done. And much respect to him. Much respect to him.
Roline,
it really restores my faith in humanity.
No, I agree. That was a lovely story. Roline, I can't believe it. We're even going to be crossing late for the news, and we crossed early, but that just shows how much is so interesting and happening in Israel.
It does. When you and I chat.
It does indeed. Can't wait to chat to you tomorrow. Thanks for the input today. But it is 29 minutes to 6, and we need to take the news headlines.